This week on the Dad.io podcast, me and Andrew are going to go a little off the cuff, so to speak. We are, instead of focusing just on one topic, we did Black Friday last week, and we kind of want to do a follow-up to not only Black Friday, but also a follow-up to our June home automation month, and kind of talk about some of the products that we discussed back then and some of the products that we got for Black Friday, kind of talk about some of our experiences since June with those, with all of those wonderful products that we recommended to you guys, kind of let you know some new things that we figured out and some changes that have happened with those environments. We're going to do that today. It's just be a nice little follow-up episode. Talk about some new stuff. Andrew, you got lots of exciting new things. You got a sous vide. I'm so angry. I'm so jealous.
Yeah, my wife didn't know about it. It's not really smart home-esque, but it does connect via Bluetooth. So that counts, right?
That counts. I'll count it. I was jealous. Even though our wives did not understand the concept of it, I still want it so bad. So join us as we talk about our amazing cooking skills that we haven't actually tried yet and more right now on the Dad.io podcast.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Andrew.
And we are two guys navigating fatherhood in a digital society.
Life supplies the inputs.
And we supply the outputs.
I'm Andrew Walsh, a.k.a. Bat Phantom, from the Operation Pug podcast, proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2... 1,
and we are back.
Yes, we had a topic for this week's episode, but we weren't able to fully go out with our plans. And so we have started a new topic, and I think this is going to go in line with our Black Friday episode last time and some of the new gadgets we got.
So originally we were going to talk about the movie, was it
Instant Family with Mark Wahlberg.
We reached out to Mark Wahlberg in lots of different ways.
Yeah, we tried Twitter, I think maybe Instagram, but he didn't really reply to any of our tweets.
So if you're listening, Mark, you owe us, okay? I offered, said, hey, Mark, why don't you like come get some burgers with us from the Wahlberger? They got a food truck in Columbus.
Yeah, hey, just let us know the next time that you're at Mark Wahlberg Chevrolet, and we'll head out and get a quick audio bite from you.
Yeah, we want answers, Mark. Why you ignored our requests?
I mean, he is pretty busy, so I mean, there probably are some actual legit reasons.
You act like he's a celebrity or something. He was in the Funky Bunch. Like, I'm just joking, Mark. I love you, man. Okay, you made some fun movies. I can't think of a Mark Wahlberg movie. Can you?
Transformers.
He was in Transformers. He did that. That was the thing.
I mean, I hope I'm right with this one. Wasn't he in the Ted movies?
What? Yes, that was Mark Wahlberg.
Okay.
And he was in, was it Rock? I think it was Rockstar. I think, yep. That was, I think, then he was in a sniper movie. He was a sniper one time. That was a thing.
Okay, I think we better stop with that before we turn him off from listening to any more of this episode.
I feel like he's one of those guys that he's like in movies and you know him, but then when it comes time you're on the spot, I can't think of a lot of his movies. But he was in this one and apparently got really good reviews, and it obviously revolves around foster parenting. So we definitely wanted to check that out. We probably still will. We were going to discuss that on the show, but we didn't get an opportunity to get out and see it.
Yes, with us having a combined 8 kids, it's kind of hard to find a babysitter and to just make those plans because that movie just came out about a week ago.
Yeah, things get complicated when you got that many kids, so... Maybe we'll get to do that at some point, you know, here in the next few weeks. But so look at that. We'll talk about it at some point in the future, whether it be we get to see it in the theater or when it comes out on video. We could at least have a movie night that we could all watch it. So we'll talk about it at some point. Regardless, Mark, you owe us. Come on, make that happen. Anyway, so since we didn't get to do that, we wanted to talk about a follow up to last week's episode for Black Friday. So Andrew, real quick, our wives went out on Friday evening. We did not end up having
Thursday evening. It was Thursday.
You see, this is like I'm running on very little sleep today. Thursday evening was Thanksgiving in America, and our wives went out Thursday night. I don't think my wife got home until almost 3 a.m. or something. It was really I don't even remember her coming home that night. She got in bed, and apparently we had a conversation, and she woke up the next morning, and I was asking her about like how it went the night before, and she's like, Ryan, do you not remember talking to me about this? I was like, no, I was sleeping. She's like, you woke up. Will you talk to me? I don't remember it. I was out.
Well, I checked on our cameras and I seen that my wife came home around 2 a.m.
Okay.
So yeah, that was another addition to our smart home since our episodes then.
So I know that you guys did the same thing on an actual Friday morning. We woke up and my wife was just real sleepy. So I took care of the kids in the morning and let her sleep in a little bit longer. And once we got everybody settled, we did breakfast and everything. We grabbed the iPads and we started our shopping frenzy on the actual Black Friday. And I got my wife completely done. I usually do terrible buying gifts for my wife because she's very hard to buy gifts for, because I don't know how to word this in a way that it doesn't sound mean, because I don't mean it to be mean. She doesn't like have a lot of stuff that I can point to and be like, that's a thing that my wife likes that I could get her. I don't know how to explain this. It's really hard to explain this. She doesn't have like a lot of things that's easy to buy her for.
It's one of those things too, as adults, if we need something throughout the year, we usually buy it.
That's the problem.
Like with some of these Black Friday deals, there was probably a few things that my wife could have got me as a gift, but I went ahead and purchased them myself.
Like the sous vide.
Yes. And I think we will talk about that more. I think we're going to have to plan a cooking episode of the Dad.io podcast.
Oh, we are so going to do that. I can't wait to hear what your wife thinks about it, because she was completely lost as we were trying to explain to her what this thing is. Real quick, tell the listeners, what is the sous vide?
A sous vide cooker is basically, it looks like one of those stick like immersion blenders that you get, but you get a pot of water. It has a heating element in there and it will heat the pot of water up to a certain temperature. It doesn't need to be on a burner on your stove or anything. It's completely separate from that. And what you do is you can cook like a steak in a bag. I'm going to start off using Ziploc bags, but the better option after that is to move on with a vacuum sealed bag. Get all the air out of there. And then you just put it in this pot. You let a steak cook for like 6-7 hours. I still need to do some research on exactly how long.
It's like a slow cooker.
Yes, it's like a slow cooker. But you can cook a steak at 130 degrees.
Which is like the perfect steak temperature. So if you want if you're a normal human being and you like your steak like medium to medium well, which there's no other temperature for steak. Are you with me on this? Where do you get your steak at?
Usually I get my steak well done, but the last time I had a steak, it was way too dry. And I think I'm ready to take the next step down to medium well and just see what's going on from there.
Dude, it's a whole new world. Growing up, my dad always just completely well done cooked the steaks. And I never liked steak until I started dating my wife and we had steak at her dad's house one night. And I bit into it and I was like, what is this food of the gods that I am eating right now? Because it's delicious. And I had never had a steak that was actually cooked to well done. It's a whole new world and it's amazing. And you will love it and realize that you've been eating steak wrong your entire life. But the sous vide will actually cook. If you tell it you want it medium well, it will cook it to that exact temperature and then it holds it there. So that like while it's cooking, it's in the bag. It kind of cooks in its own juices and keeps all the good stuff right there.
And you won't have to worry about too much about the food safety aspect, because when you get to the food safety aspect, it is always recommended 155 for beef, but that is held at a certain amount of time. That is like 30 seconds.
I'm impressed that you can recall that off the top of your head. That's usually a question I have to ask Google too. I'm estimating
right there, but it is a short period of time that you hold it at that 155. But if you have it at 130 degrees for a longer period of time, that kills off the bacteria just as well as bringing it up to 155.
And it will taste delicious. Supposedly, it's like the best thing in the world. I'm super excited.
So you cook the steak in this bag. Then you just let it get done. The longer you have it in there, the more tender it will get. Then once it's done, you just take it off. You can get if you're interested enough, you can get a blowtorch. Sear it up with a blowtorch.
Oh, you weren't kidding with that? Is that right?
I was not kidding with that. And that'll get it nice and brown and like that crispy, like caramelization on the end. Or if that's when you want to finish it off on your grill, if you have a really hot grill, you can just pop it on there for a little bit on each side, just to sear the outside of it. There's also a thing that you can also hook up to your propane torch. It's called a Searsol. It's not as fun as a blowtorch, but it is just as effective.
Hank Hill is so excited that we were discussing these things right now, by the way. That's all. I just keep picturing in my head when you just said Searsol. I'm just picturing Hank Hill saying Searsol.
Yeah, so that is a preview of our cooking episode. Once we actually get this stuff tried and we've realized that how it actually works.
Once the wives sign off that it actually tastes good, then we'll take it to the internet and we'll brag about how good it turned out. I'm super excited here to see how this turns out.
Yeah, but we just ordered this stuff. This is what, Thursday was what, 2 days ago?
Yeah.
And when we ordered this stuff, when I just got that today on the Saturday.
It's a beautiful time that we live in. I haven't got any of my, well, I did. I ordered, so we talked last week that Philips Hue had just about anywhere that you went this year, you could snag very good deals on Philips Hue stuff. I got a light strip to put in our family room, and that came today, which that was an Amazon, so it's always 2 days. What else did we order? We ordered it. I got a couple other things yesterday, but I ordered those before Black Friday because a lot of places, again, like we talked about, Black Friday has basically been the entire month of November.
Yeah, and there was one thing, like that PlayStation I was looking at, because I was really debating, like, I really want to get it, because some of my friends at work, they're talking about Red Dead Redemption 2, and which is basically a Wild West simulator game, from what they've told me, is the quick explanation of that game. It's like, I have no time to play it, but I want to play it. Do I get it? And I was checking Thursday afternoon, and every place was sold out, but Monday through Thursday morning, it was in stock everywhere last week.
I mean, I've heard that Red Dead, you gotta get like 20 hours in before the game even gets like fun. Like, I've heard it's fun, but you gotta get like way far in. I don't got that kind of time.
So there was a lot of good deals that started that the week of Thanksgiving, but I think most of those are winding down. There's probably a bunch of stuff coming out for Cyber Monday. So
I cannot remember a single deal that came out on a Cyber Monday that was really like the killer deal that you had to wait until Cyber Monday to get. I don't know if you have a different experience with that, but Cyber Monday has never done anything to impress me. And I haven't even seen anything that's supposed to be coming out on Cyber Monday that has any sort of like big incentive to really worry about it. Amazon, maybe Amazon's gonna pull something. I don't know.
Yeah, there's been a couple places that's come out like, hey, there's a special deal. I think Target has a deal of the day and stuff. And there were some good deals on Target, but it seems like everything that was in the ad, you were able to get the Monday of the week of Thanksgiving. And there was a few things that came out like the Wednesday, but Thursday afternoon, you were able to find anything in the ads and you didn't have to go out to the stores this year. Like, I was driving around Friday afternoon, and usually one of the main streets in our town is like really busy. And it's like, this is like a normal Friday.
Yeah. And even our wives, they went to Columbus, to one of the busiest shopping areas in Columbus. And they said it was just like a normal day. Like, yeah, it was busier than what it should be for midnight, but it was just like going shopping on an average day. I definitely think that retailers are realizing that you can keep customers a lot happier, and it's probably a lot easier and cheaper for them to push these deals online than it is to have to make people come to the stores to get them.
Yeah.
You can control the inventory a lot tighter. I mean, there's a lot of huge advantages to that. Obviously, you hate to think that, you know, stores are going to, you know, not be as busy and lay people off or something like that. I'm not saying that that's a positive thing.
Well, what I'm hoping for out of this is that stores can be closed on Thanksgiving.
That's where I'm getting at with it. Like, everyone has that big thing, but I definitely think retailers are starting to realize there's not a need anymore to do the big doorbusters kind of thing on Thursday evening. I would say within the next few years, it's not going to be a thing.
Yeah. And the one thing too is like, today is Saturday. Our mail didn't run. It ran late today. And I do feel kind of bad for the post office and everybody, but it's kind of how it is.
I mean, the post office is basically staying in business because of this time of year, to be fair.
Yeah. I mean, if Black Friday moves to moving the post office into the black with their budget, I guess I am for it then.
I mean, they usually bring on like some part-time people to help do deliveries and that kind of thing. But honestly, the online retail shopping has been the thing that has saved the United States Postal Service. Because other than that, most of us don't get a lot of actual mail anymore. All my bills come to me in my email. I get junk to the mail to the point like where I wouldn't even check it for 3 or 4 days because there's nothing in it that has any bearing on me whatsoever. But still, so that's a positive thing. There's a lot of big incentives for retailers to just stick to doing this stuff online. This is way, way easier. It makes me as a customer way happier. So I snag the Philips Hue light strip. I don't have it installed yet. I'm super pumped for that. I have another one I'm using in my office, and that thing puts off a ton of light for what it is. You got the sous vide. You got, what was some of the other Black Friday stuff that you snagged?
One thing I got too was a TP-Link smart switches, energy monitoring switches.
I got two of these as well and super excited about them until you came over tonight and said, hey, the ones you got were a dollar more and they don't even do half the things that mine do that I paid a dollar less for. What's that all about?
Yes. So as you heard in our Home Automation Month special about energy monitoring, we talked about the Sense Energy Monitor. And it was just last week they announced that they had integration with two smart plugs that do energy monitoring. They tie in with the Wemo Insight smart plug, and then they have a TP-Link smart plug that does energy monitoring. And I know back when we were going through Home Automation Month, I was all like, when you pick one of these ecosystems for products, it's a lot easier if you have just one. It's easier to manage on your app. You don't have to worry about linking like five different services into your smart assistant.
We actually just said this last week, by the way, too. We reinforced this last week, and I will still stand by it, but I'm gonna let you explain your thing here, because you have a very good point here. So good, continue.
So I had the option of doing the Wemo or to go completely different and to go into get the TP-Link product. I chose to get two of the TP-Link smart switches, mainly because those two were just slightly more than one of the Wemo products. And I was, for what I was using them for, I did not see me using the app that much. I wanted to use them to monitor the energy usage in my house and to...
You wanted to use them for specific devices, right?
Yes. And it's basically, it came down to price for me with these. Because the Wemo product was about $30. $30 or $40. I can't remember what the sale was for it. And the TP-Link, they were $15.
Yeah. I mean, unless you bought the ones that apparently were more popular but didn't have as many features. And I paid $17 for mine, I think. But yeah, so apparently there's two different models of these. I picked up two of these to use for our Christmas trees to turn them on and off, so we're not leaving those on all day. And yeah, I mean, granted, I was still excited because they're still almost half off for these. And I have a TP-Link switch that I use in our dining room because we have a chandelier that has 8 bulbs on it. And I was not going to buy 8 Philips Hue chandelier bulbs for that thing because I would basically need to take out a loan to afford it. And it was just way cheaper to buy the TP-Link switch and instead make that switch smart instead of replacing all the bulbs to Philips Hue. And during Home Automation Month, I talked about how I wasn't super impressed with the ecosystem for TP-Link because at the time I hated the app. It ties into Google Home perfectly fine. And I never had to pull up the app. I would just tell it to turn on or off the table. So they did revamp the app a month or two ago. I love the new layout of it. It loads way faster and it's way easier to actually set routines on it, which you could not do before. So when I added the two switches or the two outlets for my Christmas trees, they synced up really quick. They're fast. They're responsive. I actually really like the TP-Link app now that they have redesigned it and I have a few more devices paired with it. I think that you'll be happy with that.
Yeah. And as you were talking about that, the one thing that was turning me away from selecting the TP-Link product was they do not have native support for HomeKit. And me as an Apple user and use Siri, that is very helpful. So that was another reason why I didn't choose the TP-Link products, but I was willing to make the compromise because it tied into the Sense Energy Monitor and I could see all of my usage from within that app. And from there, it wouldn't be that bad to have all of my energy usage combined into that app.
And we were looking before we started the show. I don't know if you found an answer to this yet, because on the app, it does show there's an HS20 smart router that apparently adds some extra features to the TP-Link products. Did you find it to see what it does?
I did not see that, and I don't know how that ties together. From what I've seen, there is no easy way to make TP-Link products tie into HomeKit.
Which, so, to be fair, Andrew, you're only one of like five people who are actually using HomeKit. Let's be real here. It's not a very popular ecosystem or a very popular environment.
But just having like that functionality within your phone is nice. I mean, chances are I will just be using it with my Google Home assistants. But just to have that as an option is great.
That's fair enough. I can see that for sure. And, you know, I mean, this ties into what this all kind of ties back together, too. You've actually said that you prefer HomeKit in some ways, feature wise, to Google Home, because you said that HomeKit does a few extra things. I have it set up on my phone, but I've never used it because I always forget it's there, because I'm so invested into Google Home that I never even think about switching over and turning something on or off with HomeKit. What do you like better about that than Google Home? Because we talked about Home Assistants during Home Automation Month, but we didn't talk a whole lot about HomeKit at that time. And I don't know that you were even using it very heavily in June.
I wasn't, because I was still pretty in the infancies of starting my home automation stuff then. And there's just times when the Google Home Assistant does not listen how I want it to. Like I say something and it was like, I'm not for sure what light you're talking about. Or it would be like, I don't understand what you said. And it gets frustrating. And whenever that happens, 85 or 95% of the time, I just pick up my phone and it does it correctly. Like, it can understand what I'm saying without an issue. And since my phone is tied in with the same services as the Google Home, it's not a problem.
And we were over at your house before we came here to record, and you were telling me about this. So I've never ran into the problem with Google Home, and maybe it's because I just never realized. You said that it was a little bit different before they did the big update a few months ago. Because if you ask it to turn off your living room lights, plural, it works. But if you say, turn off my living room light, singular, it does not work. And my thing is, you have more than one device, you have more than one bulb in your living room. So it's saying, well, you said bulb or one light, but you didn't tell me which light you wanted me to turn off.
But the thing about that was, when I first had it set up, it worked that way.
You're very passionate about this too.
Like, it, like I could say a plural or not plural, and it would be like, oh, all of these bulbs are labeled living room, I'm gonna turn them all off. And it would work. It worked no problem. Then there was one day, literally one day, I started saying something and I was like, I don't know which light you're talking about. I was like, you knew yesterday what light I was talking about. What changed? And
I don't remember
it,
this.
It literally took me like 3 or 4 weeks to find, like, what? Why is it not understanding what's going on? Then one day I said it plural and I was like, that's it.
Like, I don't remember that, but I never had mine set up to where all the bulbs were named the same thing. So maybe that's why. But to me, I guess it makes sense from the AI comprehension part of it, that if you just say one light and you have multiple lights, it doesn't know which one. But I understand too, where you're saying that, well, in the app, they're all set up as living room light, then it should just turn off everything that's named living room light.
Well, if it would have started off that way, I would have understood. But it literally, there was like a day when this changed and it no longer worked. And me and my wife were like, why is Google not listening? Like, what is going on here?
What did the children do to Google?
Yeah. And none of their settings changed, nothing. It was just, they pushed out an update and it didn't work anymore.
So they did push out an update a few months ago. And I think that this is really important to discuss because it has a huge impact on the Google Home environment. I love the new update. I love the new layout of the app. I love the way that you can add things to different rooms a lot easier. I didn't realize how much I disliked the old version of the app, actually, until I got the new one. And playing with the new features is just night and day, to me, better than what it was. And I was showing you, you had not had a chance to really get to play around with the Google Home Hub. And you were, before we started recording, you were playing around with it. And I was showing you some of the features that I do like about that. You were playing around with it, showing you some of those features. And the number one thing that turned you off about it was the UI, because it looks very similar to the app. And again, that's the thing I liked about it, because I do like the app. What do you dislike about the app?
Well, it comes down to the Google Apps, right? And when I first started with Google Home Assistant a year ago, their apps seemed very cumbersome. And if you wanted to change a setting, you had to go through like 8 different menus to try to find something. And when you got there, it's like, why is this not here?
Hold on. I'm going to pause you real quick, because I think it's important to note we're both using it on iPhones. I will say that I am a very, very, very long time hardcore Android user. And I made the switch earlier this year to Apple devices, and I have no regrets about that switch. However, I do think that the Google apps are not really purposely more cumbersome on iPhone than they are on Google. On Google, they're just all tied together so much better because it's in their environment. So I agree with that. They are much more cumbersome on iPhone, but I just wanted to point that out just to make sure that everyone knows what we're talking about, the iPhone version of them, because the Google version is drastically different in how you interact with those things. But continue with your thoughts there. I just want to make sure we pointed that out.
Yeah, and it seemed like their interface was cumbersome. Like, if I wanted to find a setting, I would go here and it's like, why is this not here? And I had to go somewhere else, and why is it not there? And I was literally like playing around for maybe half an hour just to try to find one setting to unlink a service that I set up a year ago. And even from the beginning, when I started using the Google Home app, it tried to push me over to the Google Assistant app to make changes. It's like, why is this not the same app?
Yeah, see, now that's an iPhone thing, because on Android, those two things are the same thing. They're not, but like the Google Assistant is...
It's tied into
Siri.
I understand on the iPhone, they do kind of have to have them separately, but I don't see why they can't put it together.
I agree with that.
It's very cumbersome, but once you get everything set up, you don't need to be in the app. It's just when you try to set up new things or to tweak your settings a little bit, I don't like it.
We could do an entire episode about Android and iPhone. I have lots of insight on that, because I was a hardcore Android user since version 3 when the original Samsung Galaxy came out. And I love Android to a certain extent, but then once I got my iPhone, I really thought that I was going to hate it and that I didn't want to be like the Apple person. And I thought that I had this idea that Apple had all these things I wasn't going to like. And then once I got into playing with it, I said, oh yeah, there's like nothing that I really miss all that much about Android, except for the back button. That is the one thing that I wish that Apple would add, because that is my only huge grievance between the two, is that I don't have the back button right there by my thumb. And I hate that I have to drag my thumb and reach all the way up to the corner of the screen to use the back button. You don't realize how annoying that is until you had it for 7 years of your life. The back button was in the same spot. Now all of a sudden it's like in the opposite corner of the screen. That's super annoying. That's one big gripe that I have.
Yeah, I've never had an Android phone. This is how it's always been. So I don't know anything different. So that might actually be one of those things that's a little bit more cumbersome on the iPhone, but I'm not familiar with that. I haven't had that ease of use, I guess, that the one feature that Android has that's better than Apple.
Oh, you stuck that in too. That was very crafty, Andrew. I hope that some of the other Gonna Geek Network guys listen to this, because a lot of them are pretty hardcore into Android. So.
Hating on Apple.
Ooh, I mean, there's definitely a lot of hate, and I will say that I would say it is unnecessarily directed hate, because Apple kind of gets that stigma of, oh, it's Apple, so if you're an Android guy, you have to hate it. I get to walk that line as the peacemaker, because I used Android for a very long time, and I still have several Android devices that I use around my house, and there's just really not that much that's different between them when it comes right down to it. Man, oh, dude, I don't know. I don't know. This, you know what? We need to save this, because there are some controversial things that can be said here that I feel Maybe we need to have a guest spot for that episode. We have to look into that. We're going to do that episode. We'll do the Android versus Apple episode, but I feel like that might be one that we need to bring a guest in on, because again, I feel like you are the hardcore Apple guy. I feel like you get a hardcore Android guy, and I feel like I can be the peacemaker to walk between the line, because I'm fully invested in Apple at this point. I've got an iPad. I've got two Apple TVs now. I've got my iPhone 8. I really like my Apple stuff. I'm not gonna lie. There's very few features that I miss from Android. So I don't know. We'll save it. We'll save this. We'll come back to this.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's some pros and cons for Apple, and I guess when I weigh those different scenarios, I'm gonna choose Apple.
I just want to see you go toe to toe with like the hardcore Android. Oh man, that could be fun. We're gonna do that. So getting back to some of the smart home stuff, which again, that entire conversation, that all ties to back to this at the end of the day, because for me personally, I don't use Siri at all as a personal assistant. If you use the Google Assistant for a long time, and for as long as I did it, the Google Assistant is leaps and bounds better than Siri is, and there's not a lot of argument against that.
I mean, I will agree with that.
A lot of like the hardcore Apple guys, even though we'll still agree that Siri has not aged as well as the other ones have compared to the Google Assistant and Alexa. Samsung has one too. I don't ever hear anyone talk about Bixby though, so I don't have an opinion one way or the other on that. I never had a Samsung phone that had that, but I have not heard very positive things about that. But as far as that goes, yeah, Siri is not aged nearly as well or nearly as useful as the Google Assistant or Alexa tends to be. And I don't know why. I would think that they would have put more investment into that, especially since they have the HomePod out and everything, and that's supposed to be kind of a centerpiece. You would think that they would want to kind of revamp that at some point and make it a little bit more in line, but they don't seem interested in doing that. So.
Well, I mean, the HomePod was originally, I guess, focused on being a speaker, more of a home assistant. It was more competing with Sonos than it was Google or Amazon.
And that's fair, and I can see that being Apple's angle, but Apple is usually a lot more careful about if they're going to put a feature into a device. Generally speaking, that feature is going to be really, really good. So
yeah, I think that's why they market it more as a speaker than a home assistant.
Right. But I mean, it's still supposed to be a home assistant.
That's the wonderful thing about some of this stuff. It can, with something like that, it can be updated with a software update.
So we got into that very long discussion there. Are there any other Black Friday deals that you picked up?
I guess one of the biggest things I got, which I got a new TV.
Yes, you have to talk about this. This you just told everybody not to buy a TV.
Sunday before Thanksgiving. I did say on our Black Friday episode that you probably shouldn't go buy a TV on Black Friday, which I didn't. I didn't buy a TV on Black Friday. I bought it the week before.
I mean, you bought it Black Friday, like special. It was still the same thing. I'm going to count it.
Target was running a good deal where it was 15% off all TVs.
I mean, you sent it to me and then I started looking at my very old TV, and my wife and I like have talked about getting a new one and getting like a bigger one for our living room and then kind of do this rotation. We have the TV is in our bedroom. I bought it before I moved out of my parents' house, which was almost 10 years ago at this point. God, I'm really old, I feel. And so it's a very old LCD TV. When you turn it on, half the time the sound comes on, but the picture doesn't. You have to like turn it off, but sometimes it comes on and it gets stuck on and you can't even like actually turn it off without unplugging it. It's an old TV, it needs replaced. But for our bedroom, we barely watch any TV anymore, so it hangs out up there, but we were going to do the big rotation and take that TV, and I would probably save it because it still kind of works, and I'm just that way. I won't throw away something like that if it still kind of works. Anyway, so we're talking about it, and you sent me that TV that you got, and I was like, ooh, they got a 55-inch one, and it's only like $60 more. I kind of want this. And I texted my wife, and her immediate reaction was, we don't really need that. And I was like, yeah, but I kind of want it. And she's like, well, look, if you get it, that could be like, you can get it for Christmas or something, but we don't really need it. And I kept looking, and I said, I don't know. I barely watch TV as is, so I couldn't justify it.
Yes. Our old TV, I think I talked about this in the last episode. if not, it was having a issue where there were some pixels that have gone out, just black pixels, one line down the middle of the TV. So if there was anything that had a bright, like white or color like that, you would totally notice the line of pixels that were out.
And they're like right in the middle of the screen too.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad if you're watching a dark show, but it's been like that for about probably 4 or 5 months now. And I've just been, oh, I hate that. Every time I watch the TV, it's been in the back of my head. And this TV was $280, 15% off. And I have my my Target card. So I got another 5% off of that. So I think by the time that, after taxes and everything, this TV was less than $250.
Which, I mean, at the end of the day, for a TV, I mean, usually your kids are the ones who are in the living room watching it most of the time too.
Yeah, it was a TCL 49-inch 4 series.
That's a killer deal for something like that. It's a smart TV too.
Yeah, it's a 4K smart TV, which I won't say pseudo HDR. It's not as great as I think the Series 6 that I kind of recommended last week. But that TV alone for 55-inch costs $700.
Right. So I think you still got a deal on this.
Yeah. So I think to replace my living room TV and to have the added functionality of the Roku in my living room, it was pretty good because it's very easy to use the Roku once you get that set up.
It just cracks me up that we discussed this at some point too, that, you know, these TVs with all these features was so expensive even just a few years ago.
Yeah, six years ago I bought an LG TV and that was $600, I want to say, for that TV. And it did not have any smarts in it. It's right. Just a regular 1080 TV. And it was $600 six years ago.
I mean, like I said, my 10-year-old Sylvania is still going kind of strong. It's limping along at this point, but it still kind of works. It works for our bedroom for the three times a year that we watch TV in our bedroom. And I have a very old Sony LCD TV that was a really expensive one at the time. And it still looks and sounds good. So I don't really have a reason to complain or like have a reason to replace it. Don't really have a reason to replace it at this point. So.
And I don't notice really too much difference between the 4K HDR and my previous TV. There's a few cases anyway where it's a little sharper, I've noticed. But for the living room, it's pretty similar. Dude, I mean, unless you have a reason to replace your TV and you got a pretty good quality now, it's really not that necessary to upgrade.
I mean, your kids were watching some Pokemon earlier. That Japanese animation was really flashy and seizure inducing on there. It looked good.
Yeah. This week, I've never really been into Pokemon. And we're trying to find something different for them to watch because they're like, oh, I don't want to watch that. I don't want to watch this. Even just in the evening when we're trying to wind down a little bit, we like to have some TV time. And I even forget how we got. I was like, do you want to watch Pokemon? And I was like, sure, I want to see Pikachu. I was like, okay. I mean, I've never personally been into Pokemon. I know really nothing about anime. I am not an anime person.
Dude, you are crucifying yourself so hard in this episode. Which I am not a Pokemon fan or an anime fan either, but I don't know. You admitted to being a hardcore Apple guy and not knowing anything about anime in the same episode, Andrew. I don't know.
Yeah. Ooh. So they're all into it. They love watching Pokemon.
It's flashing, lots of flashing colors, and the plots don't matter at all. I mean, I'm making fun of it. I've never watched it. And I probably shouldn't do that. But come on, that is a show and a license that is all about marketing. I've played some of the games when I was younger, and they're fun. I love RPG games like that. Never was hardcore into it, but I mean, it's flashy colors and like it's subliminally getting you to buy things. So that's fair. Japanese, they're smart. They know how to do that stuff. They know how to earworm their way into children's minds. And
well, I've worked with a few people that have been talking about anime. And I haven't really heard them specifically talk about Pokemon, but anime is its own thing. I mean, I don't know if it's fully a marketing thing.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying anime is at all.
And well, Pokemon, as you're saying in anime. I feel like Pokemon, I don't know if that's fully a marketing.
It's kind of, you know, we talked about, one of our episodes, we talked about like kids' TV shows. and about how a lot of shows, like especially in the 80s, came out and were basically, I need to sell this toy. So here's the new toy line we're coming out with. Work that into the show somehow. And we talked about like just like Paw Patrol is the same thing. They get new vehicles. Work that into the show somehow because it's a toy that's on the shelf right now. Make that a thing that happens in the show so the kids want it. I mean, that's what it is. I'm not saying that all anime is like that. I've watched a couple anime that I did like, but it's just not a genre I ever got like hardcore into because it goes on. Pokemon's a prime example. That show's been on for like 20 some years. Well, how are you supposed to get into that?
Yeah, I was like overhearing some of these conversations of the people I work with. They were saying, yeah, there's like 500 episodes, like, or more than that. I was like, okay.
No, that's a total turnoff to me. There's a guy I used to work with that was hardcore into Dragon Balls. Dude, oh my God, dude, Andrew, we were so screwed. There was a guy that I worked with and he was hardcore into Dragon Ball Z and he always wanted me to get into it. And he told me there's like 700 episodes of this freaking show. And I said, I don't know if it's really my thing. Bring me like two things that you want me to watch. And he brought me a stack of like, here's the first seven movies and here's like season one. And it spanned like eight DVDs. And I said, no, no, no. Give me one thing that you want me to watch that can summarize this entire show for me to find out if I like it or not. And he literally looked at me and said, I can't do that because there's not one thing. You have to know all this before you can go further. And I said, no, can't do it. I've tried to watch that show before. Nothing happens in it ever. I'm just going to stop talking. Okay. I don't like it. I'm not going to stop talking because like this is like walking through a minefield for anything that you produce on the internet, saying the things that we have said so far today, Andrew. So we just need to end it right now. We're going to go out on a high note. What's an anime that I did like? I liked, oh God, I can't remember it. Oh, I'm sinking. Fooly Cooly was really good. You want to know why? Because also five episodes. Story was great. Five episodes. Liked it. Evangelion was really good. I watched that too. So there I go. I got a little bit of street cred. Andrew, do you have any anime street cred? You better throw something out there.
I got nothing. I remember a little bit where I watched Digimon, but I think that's probably not that great.
Dude, that's like the knockoff book. Don't say that. You can't say that. All right. Well, we've buried ourselves.
That's as much as I've watched.
Ooh, man.
About like maybe five episodes of Digimon.
Okay, well, maybe we should leave out the contact information at the end of this episode because we're just going to get a bunch of hate mail, I feel like. But if you want to send your hate mail for to me and Andrew about how we just don't know a lot about anime, you can check out our website at datiopodcast.com. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/datiopodcast. And just don't send us too much hate. We're sorry. Okay, we'll try to do better.
I mean, if you want to interact with us, we have a Discord server as part of the Gonna Geek Network.
Check it. Yeah, go there. That would be a fun place to have these conversations. Go to the Discord server. You can find that Going to Geek Network. And we have our own little thing there. I don't know. We have our own room. I think it's called a room.
Yeah, and I don't know if they have an anime channel, but if they notice a bunch of talk about anime, they might add their own anime channel to that.
They might have to.
They just added a smart home channel to that here recently because we've all been talking about the smart home stuff.
You can tell us how much we suck because we don't know anything about anime.
And I'm pretty sure a bunch of other people will chime in from the Gonna Geek Network as part of that.
Oh, I'm sure that they're going to chime in, Andrew. I bet I'm going to have to be very selective with the editing on this one. But for this week, I think we've reached the end. We've filled up a nice episode here. So we've reached the end of this episode. Thank you so much for joining us. And for the Dad IO podcast, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Andrew.
Have a lovely weekend.